Thank you.
Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's drafting group and cross-SOAC working groups on Thursday, the 21st of July. We have John Berard, Bill Drake, Jonathan Robinson from staff. We have Margie Milam, Liz Gaster, Glenda Sangiri, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies today noted from Wendy Seltzer. And if I could just remind everyone, please, to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. So I put out an agenda, and Margie has worked on a drafting team charter. I guess the first question for input is on the agenda, if that agenda makes sense, or if there's any changes or proposed changes to the agenda from either John or Bill,
or
if it's Margie or Liz.
I'm looking at the drafting team charter document. The agenda's over here on the right. It's open.
Yeah.
Jonathan, this is John. I don't have any problem with the agenda. I think we can probably power through this drafting team charter pretty quickly. A couple of top-line questions when we get to it.
Right. Well, let's try and make it as efficient as possible. I mean, I think what you could see what I was hoping to do here is work through the draft through the drafting team charter, make sure we had something. And I think, you know, in some ways it seems like it's perhaps overkill to have the charter, but on another, it makes it clear what we're hoping to do and achieve. So I could see the motivation for having something as sort of formal as this in place. The other thing is the rest of the agenda then tries to figure out how frequently we're going to meet and what we're going to try and produce by Dakar. And I guess this is a helpful indication, the fact that there's just a couple of us on this. I think everyone's busy. There's a lot of parallel work going on. So we've got to try and set a realistic goal for what might be achievable. But let's talk through. Why don't we go through this section by section then? And really, in the first instance, this section one. I mean, we've got me down as an interim chair, and we need to think about whether we get some help, a co-chair, or whether we, you know, how we handle the ongoing way in which this group might work. I don't know. I think just for the sake of ease of it, if you've got no comment or don't think that you want to see anything change, let's just say that, and we'll move through it quickly.
Jonathan, this is Bill. I'm inclined towards the minimum bureaucratization of this process because I wouldn't think that we have to get, I'm not inclined towards the heavy formalization of things in the first place. So, whether we want to build a whole apparatus around this is a question to me. So I'm pretty content with keeping it minimalist, and you know, you're perfectly fine as a chair as far as I'm concerned, so I don't know that we need more.
And as long as there's only a few of us who are involved, Jonathan, so I don't think it'll be that difficult to be the chair. There are a lot fewer cats to herd in this instance. So,
I hear you. I mean, I think that's right. And I suppose what I'm really looking for is some people to really step up to the plate as much as possible, and really also assist if anyone can help in assisting the staff as well, because there's going to be me working with Margie as to how we draft this, and if anyone else is willing to work closely with her. But as you say, given that we're such a small group, potentially, we're small anyway, and with active participation, it may be even smaller. So perhaps we can just be rather efficient about this.
Well, I would like to make one organizational recommendation. That is that anybody who signed up and who doesn't participate on a call gets first dibs on any assignment that we might come up with.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But just to satisfy an urge that I have, I mean, so the, the title of this is, and now all of a sudden the screen's gone weird on me. The title on this is the Cross-Community Working Group Drafting Team. But really, isn't it the Cross-Community Working Group Drafting Team? What we're aiming to do is to put some brackets around what it means to have a cross-community working group, and yet we are a creature of the GNSO. So we're a GNSO working group.
Yeah, I mean,
that's focused on, and I don't mean, I'm not trying to, you know, conjure some old Monty Python skit here, but, you know, we're not, we are a GNSO, we are a creature of the GNSO, aware that in the future the complexity of the issues confronting ICANN will likely cause there to be more community, cross-community working groups. And so we are looking at how those things should work. And so, as you say, in the mission and scope, drafting team will be responsible for developing a proposed framework under which working groups jointly chartered by other ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. I mean, I think that's part of what we should be talking about, is what does it mean for there to be a joint charter? Because we had a joint charter with the Joint Applicant Support Work Group, but that didn't really seem to do the job. So it's not just about being jointly chartered, but it's about having, you know, charters that are aligned or exact or the same.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, and it's funny you should mention that, because the one thing in mission and scope that I underscored or highlighted was the word jointly, because it's quite clear it seems that one of the big issues in the past has been the possibility of two different charters, and one of the points that I started to hear emerging in Singapore was the issue that one of the key inflection points anyway is whether or not more than one charter can exist. Now, I have to try and keep my personal view out of this and try and hear what others have to say, but you know, that's clearly an issue, is the concept of joint charters, a single charter, or multiple charters. But yeah, so the charter is a key point.
Right, and so that ought to be part of, you know, one of our, I don't know, it probably belongs somewhere else in this chart, in this document, than in the mission and scope. But, you know, then the question is, do we, as this GNSO working group focused on this cross-community working group issue, do we want to officially solicit participation from the other SO and ACs?
Well, that's a really good point, and that as you'll no doubt be aware, comes up in section 3. And there are really two ways of dealing with this, as I see it. We either literally form a cross-community working group in the first instance and bring in other people and sort of get others to jointly come into this, or simply encourage as much participation as possible. Now, we know already that the CCNSO is pursuing something, is looking into this themselves, as far as I remember and recall. So really, we would want someone from that group within the CCNSO at least participating in our effort as well.
This is Bill. If I could perhaps say a word. First of all, on the approach from start to get-go, I do think that it would make sense to try to do this on a cross basis. I think if we go off and develop within the council something that's kind of insular and not mapping with what the other groups are thinking about this kind of thing, then we're going to have a whole kind of process where we have to go through post hoc efforts to reconcile very different texts, et cetera. And I just think that's going to be adding cycles. I mean, I think we should be working with the other groups from the beginning to try to work out a common solution that everybody has buy into. My second point is on the notion of the jointness of the charter. I expressed a view, and others from NT expressed a view in Singapore, and I will reiterate that I don't necessarily think this is a space in which one must have a singular, completely synchronized kind of charter under which every organization works. I look at the Jazz experience, and I say, well, if the fact of the matter is, if we had not had two different charters working there, we wouldn't have gotten anywhere. So there can be cases where one defines a common set of problems that are of concern to different parts of the community, and there is a desire to have some coordination and communication going on as different parts of the community work on it, and you have parts where there's shared objectives and shared work bits, etc. But there's no reason in the world why those different SOs and ACs can't also, in my view, perhaps have different charters where they pursue different elements that are more specific to their constituencies, their interests, and so on. I think that that's okay. So I'm against, personally, trying to rigorously impose a singular approach on this. And frankly, I think that if the GNSO tries to do that, it would make it very hard for buy-in to happen from the other parties. So why even go that route?
It's curious, though. I mean, if Jonathan's right that the CCNSO is looking at this, how come we didn't get invited to that?
Because we have a dynamic where this fragmentation and silo stuff is already setting in. This is why, you know, it's problematic. We need to act more affirmatively to break down the silos and get people talking across spaces. That doesn't mean that everybody within each space has to have completely the same substantive agenda, but there needs to be communication. It's not happening.
Okay, but don't we cover that effectively? If we sort of bring this back to the charter that we're discussing here, I mean, does Section 3 cover that adequately for the moment?
Section 3. Objectives and goals.
Section 3 is formation, staffing, and organization, yeah?
Yeah.
So we're open to all interested parties, publication of, distribution of. So staff, as a group, we had this conversation a little bit ago about the resources. Where does working in support of this fall in your list of things to do?
You mean in terms of prioritization?
Right.
Well, let's just assume for the moment. I mean, I'm just thinking of well, it's a fair point, but I'm just in terms of trying to keep it focused on this issue of how we make this, because there was a point that's been raised now and that was raised in Singapore. There's a risk that if we simply keep this to a GNSO activity, we'll just have to go back to square one again when we bring it out in the open. So while we could have it as a primarily GNSO activity, the only way to really make sure that this is effective is if we invite and include and encourage as much broad participation as possible, and in so doing, try and keep whatever we're doing as a GNSO aligned with any other thinking that's going on throughout the ICANN community. So just trying to deal with that for a moment. Does the membership criteria, does the sort of proposed outreach, etc., is that adequate to ensure that? Or should we be doing something?
As long as it's not marked too much as being GNSO run. And that's always the issue.
As we discussed a moment ago, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying one of the things I talked to some GAC people about, why the hell didn't you guys get involved in the community working groups that we set up to deal with MAPO and Jazz? These are issues that are supposed to be important to you guys, etc. And aside from the usual hookup about how, you know, we're governments and we can't do that, I was also getting the perception of, well, it's really your group. You're asking us to join your group. and we are in your group, sort of the odd little side people, you know, that are, I mean, there's a perception about how things get constituted. If they're constituted by one particular entity, one particular silo, participants from the other silos look at it and think I'm coming out of their playground. And so we have to find a way, I think, to avoid those kind of dynamics.
Well, the irony of that is that, of course, it goes back to this point where the only alternative is to call this drafting team a cross-community working group. But really, we've got to go back to where this started. And the GNSO asked us to come together to form a drafting team that would look at and try and expose the issues in and around cross-community working groups and propose some ways forward. Now, I think we've got it open within us to make that as wide as possible participation. I don't think anyone said this should only involve contributions from. And so I accept the point. But if one just says, I think we're in danger of just getting stuck. We'll continue to be saying, well, this is a danger of a silo. But how the hell do we break out of that silo? The only way to do that is to reach out and say, look, we welcome, we are very keen to have as much participation, influence, and activity from anyone within the broader ICANN community.
Jonathan, I'm not trying to complicate your life. I recognize we all have enough on our plates to do. I'm only saying we're not that far down the track that we can't already course correct if we want to. I mean, we can proceed as is and say, well, the council has to... One of the silos asked us to do it and figure out for that silo what we want, and then we'll engage people and encourage them to come and hope that that happens. Or we can start back up two steps and go, hey, folks, this is an issue that cuts across the community. Clearly these are going to come up again. Why don't we try creating a group now to take it on? And then just a lot of what's already... they're done with this charter here can be put to work there. So, I mean, for me, I don't know. I'm not opposed to the idea of launching a cross group to talk about the cross groups.
So practically, how would we achieve that, though? We've just missed a council meeting. I'm just wondering what practically we can do to achieve, if we were to go down that route. The moment the existing route is, we continue in the current silo, although I'm not so keen on that wording, but we continue as we are and we simply reach out across the community. What's the alternative? That we go back up to the council and say, look, hang on, having looked at this, we worry that we'll go down a silo-based route. Perhaps we should reach out and see before we make that decision and see and actively reach out across the ICANN community and see what level of additional volunteers we can get. And if it falls on sort of fallow ground where we get no one, then we take that back to the council and say, look, we're supposed to be doing this piece of work. We've got no engagement with others across the community in spite of A, B, and C efforts. We think this is potentially a problem.
That's one way to do it. You start with what you got, you fail, and then you try to recalibrate. The other way is to start by saying, hey, Stefan, talk to the chairs of ALAC and CCNSO and so on, and say, we'd like to form a thing, and we've got a group that's interested in working with you. Please tell us who you want to nominate to join this thing, and we restart it. I'll go either way. I anticipate if we're doing one thing, and CCNSO is doing another, and GAC's not even in the conversation, and ALEC has got their own world going on about these things, we could end up coming out with something which is then received poorly, and it is definitely the case that among some other parts of the community, the experience with the jazz led to very strong perceptions, and I know this in particular about ALEC because I'm the NCUC liaison to ALEC, so I'm on the ALEC list, and there were very strong perceptions among ALEC that... You know, that GNSO basically just intended to try to dictate how everything should be done. And part of the result of that was that they got their back up about that and kind of said, well, screw it. We're not going to wait around for you guys. So, you know what I mean? People read things and read into things. And so, you know, I'm for trying to get the signaling right at the front end. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Can I turn it back then and say to either yourself, Bill or John, what practically might we do to do that? What actually do I just go and have a conversation with Stefan and indicate that this is a concern that we need to, or do I put it out onto the list and make sure that the council's aware that there's a risk of going down this particular route?
Well, I'm just telling you what I think. If you and John disagree with me, and if you send a note to the drafting team list, and others can answer, yeah, Bill's full of it, then yeah, I wouldn't feel too obligated to follow my advice. But if you agree with me,
as tempting as it sounds to say that you're full of it, I don't think you are in this instance.
Ah, shit. Sorry, Bob. Oh, are we transcribing this?
Yes, we are.
But anyway, I would think, you know, look, my view is you reach out to them. You say we'd like to do it this way. If you don't get takers, then you're able to say, well, at least we tried, right? We approached you guys. We said we wanted to work on a cross-community basis. We invited you to come together on an equal footing. If nobody responds to that, then you say, fine, the council goes off and we'll try and develop our own stuff and we'll come back to you later with it. So in other words, rather than doing the first model, Jonathan, that you suggested was we do it as is and we invite them to our process, and if it fails, then we say, gee, now what do we do, Stefan, help with the outreach. I'm saying change that around. Let's see if building something cross-community from the start fails, and if that does, then we can go silo.
Jonathan, may I comment? It's Margie. I have my hand up.
Yes, Margie. I'd love to hear your input.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to give you guys some perspective of some of the challenges we've had in other groups, because this issue's come up, for example, with the group that Rosemary is trying to put together for the consumer trust metrics work. And when we drafted that charter and circulated it for a motion that didn't actually get presented today, we got a lot of pushback because of the fact that it was set up as a joint working group. And the clear message from leadership is, you know, there's no support for joint working groups right now. You know, don't go there unless, you know, until this group, Jonathan, you know, this group we're on right now, comes up with a process. And so I'm just afraid you're going to get the same kind of obstacle if you attempt to approach it from a joint perspective. And I completely understand why you'd want to. I think in the case of my personal viewpoint, in the case of the other group that Rosemary is headed, it makes sense to do it as a joint group because it was a joint request from the board to each of the SOs and ACs. Yet, you know, we got pretty firm resistance that that's not the way to go.
Margie, that's very interesting input. And I suppose what the challenge for me is, I basically guess I need to think about whether I or we or others challenge that notion, because. And perhaps I need to talk to Stefan about this on a one-to-one and just give him a call and understand why. Because I think the argument why is we can't do joint working groups because we haven't figured out how we're doing joint working groups. But that's incredibly circular in this case, because what Bill is in effect proposing is that this is a joint working group. Yet we don't know how we do joint working groups, and so what we're hearing is, don't do anything joint working group until we figure out how we do joint working groups. Is that a correct way of paraphrasing it?
Yeah, and if I may, maybe Liz wants to comment. She put some notations in the chat about one suggested way forward where you might start off with a GNSO only to get the GNSO perspective kind of in line and then expand it after, you know, the document is published. I don't know, Liz, if you want to comment.
Well, yeah, and it's not to, I mean, I think I understand, Bill, your point about, you know, if you start in a really inclusive way, then you kind of, you know, you got everyone at the table, and it just seems, in a sense, more efficient. And I wasn't trying to, I don't know, be less efficient. I think what I was trying to do, partly it was get the GNSO's view together on joint working groups, but it was also to allow you, I thought, to consider some options that might be a little bit out of the box, not just, you know, rules for joint, like joint working groups, but, you know, this issue of what the role of supporting organizations versus advisory committees are. Because, you know, here we're talking about, I think by definition, we're talking about, you know, joint working groups are not PDPs. We don't have joint PDP processes. So by definition, when we talk about joint working groups, they're filling some other function. They're providing advice to the community or to the board or to the staff or to each other. And in this case, it almost seems premature because one of the things that I thought, you know, not a staff position, just a personal opinion that I thought this group should consider is some of that more fundamental question. Like, I think it was Christina Rosette who in the after-action meeting said something like, you know, and this is a paraphrase, but it was something along the lines of maybe what we should be doing is not thinking so much about rules for cross-working groups, but think about, you know, what the role is, and if they are advisory, look to advisory committees to provide their advice. You know, really peel back the reasons for cross-working groups. And it seemed to me that it was almost premature to bring the other groups into that discussion until you guys had a chance to really talk about it at a... Because I think, you know, we've been talking about it, like, in the context of the jazz. But we're not really talking about it in a holistic sense. We have lots of other, or several other joint groups that seem to be operating effectively, the ESSAC GNSO Working Group on Internationalized Registration Data, and I think there are some other examples. So it was more to just not presuppose some outcome that required everyone, because that may not be all you want to think about or discuss.
Right. I guess I'd say two things. One is the kinds of points that you just mentioned, Liz, about the relative roles of SOs and ACs, for example, or the larger meta questions such as Christina asked, I would be inclined to think it's more effective to discuss those directly with the other parties. Try to have that conversation amongst ourselves, reach some sort of shared worldview about that that may be out of sync with the other parties and then try and take it to them. I think... To me, that enters into, again, the possibility of feeding perceptions that the council wants to sort of set the rules for everybody else. But the other point is, you know, on what Margie said, I wouldn't necessarily, it's just like I wouldn't necessarily want to overgeneralize all aspects about the community working groups from the experience of the jazz. I also wouldn't want to overgeneralize from any other particular instance, including a failed one. Now, in the case of what's been going on with the consumer thing, there's a lot of factors going on there. There's that aren't specific to whether or not community working groups can work as a model or something like that. There's a lot of people who just don't get what the rationale for that activity is and have trouble understanding the precise, clear, bounded conceptualization and how it differs from other things that already exist and so on. So there's a lot of things that are going on here that, you know, both whether you're talking about the individual cases or the larger structural principles, you know, you got to try and keep them clear. I'm not going to insist on the point. I mean, you know, if I'm the only one who thinks that it makes sense to start this way, then, you know, fine. But I just have this feeling that the council's going to go off and come up with something, and then we're going to go back to these other folks who didn't want to play in our sandbox because it was our sandbox, and they're going to say, well, that's not the way we were seeing it. And then it becomes a negotiation between to reconcile different models rather than something that you had buy-in and dialogue about from the start. And I just think in my time in ICANN, we spent so much time on almost mind-bogglingly needless process stuff that gets constructed to keep everybody busy that keeps us from actually doing stuff, that I'd like to try to avoid things that add layers of potential friction, misunderstanding, turf behavior, all that crap. This is my orientation. But I'm, you know, I feed to the majority on this.
Well, the challenge for me, Bill, is that that is you, the what you describe is very closely aligned with my own sentiments on all of this. The challenge for me is how we, you know, what we actually do to effectively achieve that. Now, if I go back to what this document is, it's supposed to be a discussion document, not a position paper, not a set of recommendations. And in many ways, it's meant to, in my understanding, is draw out the issues, perhaps with examples, and if we make that very, very explicit, that this isn't about solving the problem, and it's not about a way of making it more inclusive and feel less like it's the GNSO just going off and doing its own thing, that actually this is about the GNSO taking an initiative, but a very inclusive initiative.
Right. But let me give you a concrete example. The issue we started with before, chartering. Should charters be synced? Should everybody play by exactly the same charter? Okay? The council, based on the conversations that we've had over the past half year on this, if I had to identify a probable majority view, would be of the view that, yes, indeed, there should be a single sort of charter so that nobody gets out in front of each other or goes off and does different things. But if the council were then to present a document saying that to the ALAC, I would think the ALAC would have every reason to say, well, screw that. That's not at all what we want, because we just had the experience to suggest where precisely that's what we rejected being locked into, and we wanted to do our own thing. So, this, you know, us going off and trying to put forward
right.
a framework that we think makes sense, you know, makes sense in our life world, in our, you know, internal political configuration, but then you bring it into the other guys and they go, oh, that's not it.
Okay, but Bill, did someone else want to speak?
Well, I guess that means me, eh?
And or one of the staff members, Liz or Marge.
I'll
shut up now.
let me see if I can make a suggestion that would allow us all to move forward arm in arm. The GNSO Council has asked you, Jonathan, to at least at the start take the lead in figuring out what we think about how cross-community working groups and how they ought to be structured. That, I think, gives you the imprimatur of the council to reach out to every supporting organization and advisory committee. Maybe it means you prodding Stefan to do it, but I think we really ought to begin this process by letting every supporting organization and advisory committee know that we intend to get into this and that we would like them to be involved at the front end so that we have the possibility of agreement at the back end. And,
yeah, I really like that because in a way, as you can see, I've been fishing for a practical solution because the danger is that we sit spinning our wheels at the front end. Although I accept that this still carries some of the risks that Bill's highlighted, at least no one can accuse us of being, you know, non-inclusive or not reaching out to gain as much initial input at the front end as possible.
Right. And you know, maybe you know, none of us has a lock on the next great idea. So who knows where the next great idea is going to come from, especially as it relates to the cross community working groups. So that's where I would begin. I think maybe what we've done right now can be repurposed after we take that step. But maybe we're just a little bit ahead of ourselves, and we need to just do a little grassroots lobbying here before we begin to take votes.
I certainly agree with that. And the only modification I would suggest is, in doing that initial outreach, you can present it to people that we're trying to think about how to do this. We have a process that we've kind of started in the council, which they're welcome to join, or if they would prefer to formulate it another way from the get-go, we could do it that way too. I would give them the option. You know, if people don't take offers, then you can kind of say, fine, we asked you. And you can move on and do what you want to do. But you have to at least ask them first.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a decent way forward. Now, when I look ahead, if overall, regardless of the extent to which we gain cross-community participation in this, or it remains as arguably it currently is a GNSO, confined effort. I did a rough count, and I think it's around 13 weeks to Dakar. The question is really, what might we hope to achieve between now and then, and what would be an ideal outcome at Dakar, given what we've just been talking about here? I mean, realistically, I can see perhaps 3 telephone meetings or something between now and then, and even that's a little ambitious given the chance of people being away over that period and so on. I think ideally we've got, I suppose, just maybe walking ahead. In my view, what we might ideally have is a paper and or a presentation, and the paper may be written up in the form of a presentation for some form of workshop in Dakar, where even if we, regardless of whether we've got broader participation or not, we can put it up for broader participation then. And I accept that the outcomes won't be exactly the same, but how does that sound?
Well, I'm a fan of using deadlines to drive decision making, so I guess I'm okay with that.
So in essence, what I would be proposing, guys, is 3 meetings, 3 to 4 meetings between now and Dakar, and the presentation of a discussion document in Dakar. What format that presentation would take, I think we need to think about a little more, whether that's a workshop or a... And in part, that depends on the very first point that we've been discussing up until now, which is how much we manage to get others on board. So I think between now and the first meeting, it's an outreach phase. And we see who else we can get signed up. And we literally do what you described as I think, John, as grassroots lobbying. And that includes talking with Stefan between now and the next meeting, and see where we get to by then in terms of sign-up. And that'll determine the direction from there. So I guess in essence, what I'm saying, and I hope we're saying, or I think we're saying, is that we reach out as much as possible to seek broader participation, and then we take a stock check at the first meeting, depending on how effective that's been, and at that point we're either sort of shrinking back into a GNSO only initiative, or accepting that we've been successful in our outreach and have got broader participation. Am I being too ambitious, or how does that sound?
I vote aye on that. This is John.
This is Bill. It sounds like the right way to go. The only thing I would bear in mind is that it's summer, and in Europe, of course, it's a special thing. And so we have to be somewhat realistic about things. I suspect at the end of the day, like most stuff, we'll end up backloaded with a lot of the stuff getting sorted out in September.
Either that, or we can just put the burden on our Southern Hemisphere colleagues.
There we go.
Yeah, to the extent that we have some. All right. Well, then I think that really it's incumbent on me to put maybe a short note out to our group, that is the CCWG discussion group, and, in fact, more broadly to the council and say, look, our first meetings come away with the following points, really. We have a draft charter, but we felt uncomfortable going ahead full speed without making sure we first did further outreach and tried to ensure as broad as possible community participation, and it is that which we're going to do in the first phase of our work, and we're going to take a stop check at the first meeting, which I would expect will be somewhere like 3 or 4 weeks from now, and at that point either move on as we were going or move on with broader input from there. Any comments?
Before you do that, you should probably just have a quick chat with Stefan, though, right? Let him know what the deal is.
I think that's a very good point, and that should be the first port of call.
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. Rock on, Jonathan.
Right. Well, I think that wraps it up then. Any comment finally from you, Margie, or Liz? Is there anything else you'd like to say on that? Otherwise, we'll move ahead in that broad direction.
This is Margie. No, I think we're fine. We'll set out a doodle for a call either 3 or 4 weeks from now.
My approximate date for that, Margie, is 11th of August.
Okay.
So, Liz, the only thing I want to echo is Bill's comment about vacations and staff, and Margie's going to have some knee surgery as well, so coming up in August. So we just may have, I think the 11th works, right, Margie? But
yeah.
You caught her right in between vacation and surgery. And so
right.
I think you picked the only window of opportunity. We're going to be in the same boat for August.
That the week commencing the 8th, then, if you could put the doodle poll out for the week commencing the 8th, and let's see what we get. We may get no takers, of course, which is...
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everyone. I'll talk to Stefan, and then
can I just... quick question?
Yeah.
Is this timing, approximate timing, suitable to everyone who's on the call today?
Yeah, it works great for me, isn't it, John?
You mean the time of day that we're talking?
Yes.
Yeah.
An approximate, because you're on the call, I'll put a doodle out, but there's no point in me giving 10 time slots during the day. If this is a suitable time slot for everyone, I'll work around this timing.
Well, generally speaking, I mean...
except those people who aren't on the call.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
No, that's fine. I'll give other options as well. I just wanted to know for those who were on the call.
For me, it's convenient to be on the same day as the council.
Gisela, this is Glenn.
Yes.
Thursday is a council call day, so I would say please look at the meetings that are on the council the GNSR calendar.
Absolutely. Okay.
So that we don't clash into the same time, because I know this is a meeting time for the council. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Sounds like we're all set then.
All right. See you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, everyone.
Bye-bye.